Our Bible reading this morning comes from the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 3 and 4. It's not quite long. That's why I combined all of them, because we'll finish them. Church Bible must be what? 929? 927. My one is an NIV, but large print, it says 929. So the church one must be 927. If you are there, I'll start to read. Jonah chapter 3 up to chapter 4. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Then Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh. He rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Chapter 4. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is why I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious, compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is this right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord provided a leaf plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn, the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I am so angry, I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from the left, and also many animals?" This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for your word that speaks the truth always. We want to thank you for the guidance that you give to individuals who obey your word. Right now, Father, as we are going to be listening to your word, we ask you to open our inner hearts so that we can digest the words that we have heard from this passage. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. What a beautiful story. Some of us have heard this story when we were still going to Sunday school. So it's like a repetition, if I'm right. We could have heard it in different ways. But if I am to ask, what has remained in all those passages we have heard in the past years? I'm not going to have a census. But listen to this story. In the year 1976, my education was disrupted midstream. So I was going to stay at home. What had caused my studies to all of a sudden come to an abrupt stop was because my parents could not afford to continue paying my boarding fees. Within the school itself, I was very popular, both amongst boys and girls. So some of the students were not happy to see me leaving school. But there was nothing they could do. They could either help me to pay for my tuition fees. All they could help me with was to give advice. So, my last day at school, the other students gathered around me. And I still remember one of the boys vividly in my mind even up today. He said, "Gilson, when you get home..." You know, most of you know now that I grew up in a rural area. For you to get a job, you've got to go to an urban area to go and look for a job. So this young man said, "Gilson, when you get home, don't stay at home. Because if you stay at home, the knowledge you have acquired here will disappear." Why was he saying so? In rural areas, there is no newspaper. There are no televisions. So definitely, the knowledge that you have acquired will disappear gradually. But at the back of my mind, I knew my father would not allow me to go and look for a job. So I told this young man, I said, your idea is good as it is, but I cannot go to look for a job. You know what he said to me? "Well, defy your father's orders and run away." May I have the theme on the screen, please? And I became a road runner. I ran away from home. It was 7 o'clock in the night. My father didn't know where I was. And my young brother is the only one who knew. So I ran away to go to an urban area to look for a job. I did a Jonah. Jonah ran away from his father. But we too, as we look at this story, the first thing we must look at together is, when we run away from God, do we have scripture in the back of our mind that His Holy Spirit is living in us? Or when it comes to a situation, we've already forgotten that God lives in us. I was not here last week about the first chapter of Jonah chapter 1 and chapter 2 where it narrates the story of what happened. Jonah was told by God to go to Nineveh to go and deliver a message, a crucial message to the people of Nineveh. Jonah, he did a runner. And he was swallowed by a fish. We all know that story. Or a sea monster, whatever others might call it. Whilst he was in the belly of that monster, the omnipresent God was with him as he was praying. Surely, imagine if you are going, if a whale or a shark is going to swallow you. Understand, their teeth are razor sharp. This guy went through that monster. No scratch, nothing. Nothing is written in the Bible. And what he was eating for 3 days, I don't even know. This comes also to Jesus Christ. For 3 days, he was under the soil. And he's resurrected after 3 days. But to Jonah now, God was still with him there, though he ran away from God. But yes, we might look at Jonah running away from God. I just want to tell you There are two people who run away from God. It's Christians and unbelievers. Right? The unbeliever is someone who has heard about God and they haven't believed. I'm not talking about people who haven't heard about God. I'm talking about these two people. The believer and the unbeliever. They are the ones who run away from God. I want to come to the believers this morning. Not only in my church, everywhere. Churches. You don't think it's only Jonah who ran away from God. We have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ and we've accepted him as our Lord. Jonah disobeyed God. But believers also disobey God. Where? Let me tell you this one thing. It's very common, but we don't see it. When it comes to tithing or giving to God, Christians, their hands have got eyes. When they put them in the pocket, their fingers can see the smallest amount of money in the pocket. That's the one they pick up without a mistake. They pull it out. I'm reminded of Jenea's story the other time. He said a gentleman was standing in the church when they were singing to take up offerings. He pulled out with his eyes, with his fingers that has got eyes, he pulled out a pound note from his pocket. In that process, he dropped the 100-pound note on the floor. And the man behind him tapped him on the shoulder. He said, because he saw him putting a pound in there, he picked that 100-pound note and said, Matt, use this. So he thanked that man, thinking, well, this man is generous. Not knowing it was his 100-pound, because his fingers has got eyes. They had selected. That's being a roadrunner. Yes, Jonah ran away from God, but what about Christians who are coming to church, who know the rules and regulations that are mentioned in God's word? Before we condemn Jonah, let's also look at ourselves. The Bible says, before you plug a dust in my eye, pull out the log in your eyes. A roadrunner. Running into God. After Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the fish, God, because he's a generous God, he instructed the monster to spit Jonah on the beach. And he did. Everything in the world and in heaven belongs to God. Even fish or animals obey him. So this whale obeyed what God had said. Jonah landed on that beach. He learned his lesson. There are some of us, believers and unbelievers, who are still in the belly of the fish. My prayer is that this morning, can they be spat out on the beach and ask for forgiveness from the Lord? I suggest those who are running from God to look at this verse, Proverbs 18, verse 10. It says, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Where else can you be safe? We sang that hymn. Our God is a great big God. He's always having us in his hands. That verse is cementing that. Don't be a roadrunner like I did. Come nearer to God, and he will come near to you. Jonah learned his lesson by staying 3 days in the belly of the fish. I don't wish anyone to be in the belly of the fish this morning. What I wish you to be is to be in the hands of the Lord, who will look after you. This message, which is being spoken to you today, is actually asking you to listen to the voice of Jesus Christ. He says in John 10, verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So if you know that voice of Jesus Christ, he's speaking to you this morning, that don't be a roadrunner. Don't be a roadrunner. Listen to my voice and hear what I'm saying to you. When Jonah heard the voice of God, he said, Father, I acknowledge my mistakes. Though it's not written, but because the U-turn that he did, we read in chapter 3, after the fish spat him on the beach. Verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9. But with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Onto dry land. Jonah repented there. This is a prophet, mind you. That's why I gave an analogy of believers today. Jonah was a prophet. A prophet is someone who was telling the people what the Lord has told him. But he still disobeyed God. He also needs repentance. We do today. Sometimes we go astray. So we keep on asking for forgiveness and repentance from the Lord. Okay? One other thing that we forget. We get carried away. The Bible tells us we were made in the image of God. Genesis 1 verse 27. Do you believe in that statement? God said, let us. Listen to that message. Let us make a human being in our own image. So we are in the image of God. I believe that. Another thing. He also says 2 Peter 3 verse 10. God doesn't want you to perish. He wants to save you. He doesn't want you to perish. So here we found Jonah being sent to Nineveh. And he prefers to go to Tarshish. Oh. But now he has learned his way. In chapter 3, we hear Jonah beginning that journey to go to Nineveh, which was said it is going to be overthrown. Overthrown. Overthrown in 40 days. I looked on other versions as well. They said, the NIV said, overturned. The New Living Translation says, destroyed. So God didn't want the people in Nineveh's lives to be destroyed. He wanted them saved. Surely, surely, someone with compassion, if you hear someone is going to be destroyed, are you going to keep your mouth shut? You tip them. Or be careful. Those of you who have done history, you remember when Julius Caesar was murdered? He met an old man who said, beware the Ides of March. So if you hear about someone who is going to be murdered, you've got to act in a compassionate way. So Jonah learned his lesson. And he was on his way to Nineveh. The Bible says, God said, 40 days I will destroy that city. And the Bible says, this city, you could take about 3 days to go around it. Right? So if you subtract 3 from 40, what remains? 37. Okay? So Jonah went straight away. On that very day, he went straight away. That leaves him with 39 days. Time is not on our hands. We need to tell others about what Jesus is all about. Jesus is about to save us. But there is no time. It's now. We need to tell them now. We don't have to wait. When is Jesus coming? People, when is Jesus coming? Everyone, when is Jesus coming? I'm asking the whole church. It is on time. In other words, we? Exactly. Exactly. The Bible says Jesus will come like a thief. Yes? A thief doesn't announce his coming. He just comes to your house to rob you. So the same applies also when he says, 40 days I will destroy. Well, at least they were given a time limit. We have got to be people helping others so that they know that time is running out for them to know about the Lord Jesus and to accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. What obstacles do we have in life? There's a lot of obstacles. Once we get rid of obstacles, I tell you, we will get it right. We'll stop being roadrunners. I've got an equation here with me. Right. What can people do so that they are not roadrunners? Would it be hard work? Would it be knowledge? Would it be love? None of the above mentioned can make 100%. Okay? So my question is, which word makes 100%? Is it money? No. Is it leadership? No. But I want to say to you, every problem has got a solution. We've got a problem here. What is the word that makes 100%? Trust God. Jesus. Honesty. Prayer. Stopping being selfish. Love. Right. I want to correct all of you. There's nothing wrong with what you have said. But there's a key word that we must all use so that we stop being roadrunners. The words that you have given me, I want you to change them into numbers. Okay? Like if the word is starting with A, that's a 1. Okay? So on like that. So which word can we think of that can give us 100%? There's only one word that I've discovered. If you put it in numbers, it will give you 100%. No? I'll give you a clue. It starts with the letter A. No. Again? Another clue. The next letter is T. No? What did you say?
Attitude.
A is 1, T is 20, T is 20, I is 9, D is 4, and E is 5. If you add those, they give you 100%. So once our attitude is changed, everything else is opened up. Isn't that great? Once your attitude has changed, you won't be a roadrunner. Once your attitude has changed, you'll accept Jesus Christ. Once your attitude has changed, you'll obey what God is telling you. Isn't that great? Before I conclude, I ask each and everyone to change their attitudes. Before I finish, Luke 12 verse 20 says this, "You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." No wonder Jonah went to Nineveh. No wonder Jonah went to Nineveh. He changed his attitude. Are you going to change yours? Especially for those who don't know the Lord. Jonah was angry when the plant died, but he was not angry for those who don't know the Lord. He knew they were going to perish because 40 days, if he hadn't gone there, they were going to perish. But he was not angry with that. He was angry with a plant which God planted. It wasn't his plant. God made it to grow and God made it to die. Are we sometimes carried away by trivial things instead of the most important things? What I leave with you this morning is, let's change our attitudes. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you are a gracious God. Scripture shows that every now and then, we reminded of the children of Israel, they rebelled against you, and Moses had to plead on their behalf, and God, you relented. Same applies to us today. Some of us are still roadrunners. Father, we pray that we change our attitude so that we can have 100% of everything. We'll have Jesus Christ as our Savior. We'll be nearer to God and He will be nearer to us if our attitude is changed. But with the wrong attitude, Father, we'll remain roadrunners. I don't want to be a roadrunner, Father, because you love me.
What can we say, Father? We can continue. But we don't have the right words to praise you or to honor you. But we just ask you to receive what we can say this morning. Father, thank you for the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we call a friend, even though he is a king. Thank you, Lord. In his name we've prayed. Amen.